Shalom everyone, and today we're starting a new book, the book of Numbers, Bamidbar in Hebrew. So it's a book of Bamidbar, chapter 1, verse 1. וידבר אדוני משה במדבר סיני באוהל מועד, באחד לחודש השני, בשנה השנית, לצאתה מארץ מצרים לאמור. It's a long verse, and God spoke to Moses, it was in the Sinai desert, in the tabernacle, and it was the first day of the second month, the month of Iyar, Tours, on the second year for the Exodus from the land of Egypt. And what does it say? Verse 2, Se'u et rosh kol adat bnei Yisrael mishpechotam. Se'u, raise. Now, the word Se'u et rosh has two meanings. The literal meaning, the simple meaning, like in what it says in basic Hebrew, Se'u et rosh, raise the head of each person among the congregation of Israel. Elem mishpechotam, by their families, Levet avotam, for their patriarchal belonging, Bemispar shemot, and so on, and the whole thing, but basically that means a census. So we need to ask a few questions. One, that we ask every year, why does God need to count the Israelites? He's God. He knows in every given moment, and especially he's over time, he's above time and above space. So he is the, as the Maimonides says, Hayodea, Hayadua, Vamada. He is the knower, the one who knows. He is the knowing and the knowledge. So is there any knowledge that is not part of God? So why does God need Moses and Aaron to count the Israelites? So the simple commentary, let's see. Rashi basically, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, 11th century in France, the most popular and the most famous commentator of the Torah. He brings earlier midrashim, earlier sources, and he says basically, mitoch ibatam lefadav mone otam kol sha, because he loves them so much, he counts them every hour, because that count of counting will repeat itself through the whole book of Numbers, and this is why it's called the book of Numbers. Now, my question is, your question is, what's in it for me? And we will see that this is really an answer, a very important answer for all of us, especially in our era that we live in such a chaotic era. And why is it so chaotic and painful, miserably, miserably painful? Because of what is raised in this parasha. We will learn from this parasha about the healing of today's, I may say the worst disease of our generation, that the other diseases, the other problems are basically outcomes, branches of the main problem that the book of Bamidbar, and especially Parashat Bamidbar, is basically raising or dealing with. So again, it says, Mitoch, God loves them so much, so he counts them every hour. So our question was, if God is not just everywhere, he is also in every piece of knowledge. Now, how many Israelites are there? Why does he need Moses and Aaron to count for him? And they counted. Why do you need, since when do you send the king and the high priest to count a whole nation of millions? You hire a census company, or you appoint some officers and they do that for you. It will never happen that the king and the high priest or the prime minister or the president, can you imagine that the top leader of a country will do the census on his own? You know what? It's not a bad idea. And I'll explain to you why. Menan Leida, so one source, is Rashi is basically quoting earlier sources. God loves them so much, he counts them. You know, like somebody who made a nice amount of money, and he keeps counting it because he enjoys so much to have all that money. Another explanation: when they left Egypt, he counted them. After they sinned with the golden calf, he counted them again to know how many of them were left after so many were killed. Now he wants to dwell his Shekhinah, his holy dwelling presence in their midst. He needs to count them again. And when he mentions it, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, has been established on the first day of the first month, which means the first day of the month of Eris, Nisan, exactly a month later, the month of Iyar. Why does the Torah have to mention that to us? What's so important about it? Why do we need that piece of information? And I'll give explanation for all of them. And for according to their families, so to know how many belong to every tribe. According to their paternal house, which means you count people according to their father, which means if somebody has a father from the tribe of Yehuda and his mother is from the tribe of Benjamin, so the person belongs to Yehuda according to the tribal belonging, like in many, many cultures. Legulgelotam, what per each head, and Rashi explains, Al yedei shekalim beka lagulgolet. How did they count them? Each one of them donated half a shekel. They counted the shekalim that were donated, and then they divided the amount by half, and the result was a little bit more than 600,000. That's how they counted. What does it mean? So they didn't go door to door. In another place, it did. So let us explain this in a simple term so everybody understands. In order to do that, we'll read first from the Zohar of Parashat Bamidbar. And the Zohar starts with a verse from Genesis chapter 1. Vayivra Elohim et Adam betzalmo. And God created Adam in his image. And we know that an image is a definition, because how does a mind perceive an image? Through by the boundaries, the borderlines. That's how we perceive an image. When there is a contrast between the background and the form itself, we cannot define an image without definitions, without boundaries. Now, if that is so, we have to understand God, who is infinite. How can you have an image that it's all about definition? Infinite, define. Okay, so there's a little problem. So we are not talking about a physical image, because a physical image, does God has no physical image, because He's infinite. He's everywhere, above time, above space, within time, within space, within every object, within every particle. Without the force, the power of life of God, there's no particle in the universe that can be sustained, that can exist without the constant flow of the life force of God into every aspect of reality. Every aspect of reality is drawing its life force from the infinite creator. So when we go back again to Adam, so what does it mean that Adam was in God's image? So it's not a physical image. You could create a portrait, okay, picture out of it. We are talking about a mental image. And we learn, every beginner class for Kabbalah, that when God created us, He created us so we could be the receivers, the recipients of His bliss, light, and pleasure. That's the purpose of the creation. The giver created us so we can receive what he wants to give. More than that, we are the exact opposite image. Whatever God wanted to share, we are the opposite image because we are the basically the pattern of his receiving, because whatever we want to receive is because God wanted to give it to us. Basically, the question is very simple. What comes first? The fulfillment or the need? And for most people, the immediate answer is the need. Of course, first you need, then you are looking for the fulfillment. But if you think about it carefully, it's the opposite answer. Why? How do you know what you need if you never had it? How do you know that that's what you want? How do you know that that's what you desire unless you had it before? Think about it, contemplate about it, meditate about it, because the more you get it, the more you understand what Kabbalah is about. The wisdom of understanding how this universe functions by asking questions, first of all. So, what does it mean? First was God's giving. We were created as a template of the vessel for that giving, which means what comes first? God's giving. What comes next? Us as a template or on the impression of his giving. So, we were created in the image of God's giving. However, there is, and I repeat it many, many times because this is the most important concept you can understand. So we were created complete, fulfilled, just as the template of God's, of the basically the recipient, the vessel for God's giving. Now, since God's giving is complete, he's infinite. So his giving is infinite. Now the question is, so why there is so much lack, pain, chaos in our world if God the giver is so complete and so infinite? And the answer is, from God's point of view, the creation was finished on verse 5. Verse 5 in Genesis. And there was a night, there was a day, one day. Not first, one. And when there's one, there's no other. On that moment that there was a night, the creation, we, the vessels, and a day, the creator, his light, are one, which means every need was created, fulfilled. It was created by the fulfillment. So if God's giving is infinite, he couldn't help it but give himself. And therefore, having the image of God means that we all have, the easiest way to explain it by three aspects of the image of God. A, being the creator means independence. No one likes to be dependent. No one likes to get orders from others. No one likes to be limited, pushed around, and oppressed, because we all have that original need, which is part of who we are. It's part of our calling. It's part of our vision. It's part of our basic need to be creators. If you're not independent, you're not a creator. So that's why human beings, like healthy human beings, can't stand to be told what to do. Okay? Healthy human beings cannot be limited. without getting very frustrated. Limited by anything that takes away your freedom to create, which is a second aspect, creativity, to be creator, to create, and especially to create our own fulfillment. Can we force somebody to be happy or successful? Impossible. Why? We have to create it on our own, because that part of what does it mean to be created in the image of God. Okay, so now that we got that, the third aspect, so we said the first aspect was to be independent. A creator is dependent, is independent. Second, to be a creator, which means creative. So people who are creative have more chances to be happy than people who do nothing. Okay? And if they do, they hate every minute. They're not happy. And the third aspect, God is a giver, we must give, which means you can never meet happy, selfish people. If they're happy and they're selfish, this is not an oxymoron. Why? God is a great giver. So this world was, when the universe was created in a perfect state. If all the receiving happened already because all the giving was given. How do we know what to what we want to receive? We already had that want, desire created in the infinite when we have been in God's image. That's what drives us. So, because we could not stand that perfection that the world was at that moment. There was no moments, but that was a state of the creation. The creation was created perfect. We, the creatures, we, the vessels of God, could not stand the idea that everything is perfect. When everything is perfect, you are not independent. When everything is perfect, you cannot create anything because everything is perfect. There's no need to create anything. When everything is perfect, no one needs anything from you, so you have no chance for sharing and being really excited and proud about that you did made the difference for somebody else, which is independence, creativity, and sharing. So God had to break that perfection for us. And that's the second day. On the second day, you read Genesis, God is busy breaking the perfection, breaking the world. So everything is scattered. So when you need to, first of all, you need to create stuff. It's not coming handy. Okay. And in order to create some stuff, you need other people to help you. So you share with them and you're creative in your way of bringing everything together. I hope you get it, because that's very important. What really fulfills us? That we are basically successful in being creators. So if I cannot do that because somebody else stops me from doing that, that is a big problem. So it could be competition, could be all kinds of inhibitions, could be bureaucracy, there's so much evil, whatever you name it. When you feel helpless and you cannot really create, so that you're not in the right place. You cannot be in the right place. So let us now, in that background, continue what Moses was, what the Zohar is saying. So Rabbi Abba opened, and God created Adam in his image, and we explain what does it mean. We already learned that verse. There are many explanations for that verse. However, come and see. Bo a. When God created Adam, he created him in the image of the upper worlds and the lower world. What it says that in many places that every human being is a mini cosmos. The whole universe is reflected in every human being's mental and physical state. Adam in the beginning was all included by all of them. And his light was shining from one end to another in the world. Hakola Yoreim Mipanav, everybody had awe of Adam. Verse 2. Vafapi Shemidu, Yesh Nistakel Mikra, although we already had explanations for that, but we want to focus on our issue right now. Excuse me. So he continues. When he says he created his Adam in his image, and then he adds, in the image of God, he created him. Why the repetition? Isn't that redundant? And the answer is to show that two levels in Adam, two different aspects, because Adam had male and female included within him. How do we know? That's the end of the verse. The end of the verse says, Zachar u'nekeva bara'otam, he created them, male and female, he created them. So Adam was basically, say the Talmud, androgynous. What does it mean? He was male on one side and a female on the other side. So he was complete because he was made of male and female, two in one. He was also connected. He was between the above and below in one. Because of that, he was shalem, complete in everything. Adam. And therefore, verse 4, Hayam yisakel b'chokhmah lemala l'mata, he could look, check on, research above and below everything. Adam. He had that wisdom, he had that ability. However, when Adam sinned, all the structures of humanity, the structures that basically mirror the heavenly structure, so humanity can draw the heaven to the earth, all of that had been erased. So, but we said Adam had a male and female aspect. It did not manifest at that moment. Verse 4. V'ayah mistakel b'chokhmah lemal olamata. He had the ability to see wisdom above and below. Everything for him was one big structure of knowledge and wisdom. To be included by all. Then I continue, verse 4. V'ayah mistakel b'chokhmah lemal olamata. He had the ability to delve into wisdom above and below, not just male and female, also spiritual, corporeal, the universe the way we know it, and the metaphysical aspect of the universe. Adam included all of these worlds, and he had the ability to create new structures all the time, according by when we coming to that place that he was really busy doing his job. And then Adam gave birth to children from above and below. And that was basically the general name of Cain and Abel. That Cain was from the lower worlds and Abel was from the upper worlds. And then they lived next to each other and then they killed one of each other when Cain killed Abel. Finally, nothing was left of them till finally he gave birth to a son, which is Seth. As it says, from him the world was planted and tried to grow again. Im kol zeh. So still, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, they can't stand each other. Cain kills his brother. So the world was not complete till came Abraham. When Abraham came, Abraham like held the world in its hand not to fall. What does it mean? So today, when we study Torah, when we study the Zohar, we're doing something that we cannot see mostly with our eyes. When we study, we change the reality around us. When we study Zohar, when you study in a spiritual context, when you do that, you don't just want to know what is the kosher way to slaughter a cow. Okay? You want to know what does it mean to feel safe? How much money do I need in order to feel safe? Okay. So, but Cain and Abel did not get along with each other till finally from Seth came out another child. And from there, from that then on, the world was established because that child started to agree to Adam's ideas, which means a human being cannot live over the bread only. Can't. You need to have more reasons for you to get up in the morning. You have those reasons, you have more energy. You don't have those kind of reasons, you don't have the energy. You wake up and like, why do you have to get out of bed? I don't have any incentive. How would that help the planet? How would that help humanity? I don't see that. Okay, so what do you do at that time? You kill yourself. You know, when you can't see a vision, when you can't see hope, when you can't see where it is going, where reality is going to. You can't contain all the misery and the pain because you feel part of it. So when Abraham came to the world and he brought the consciousness of Ezra, which means I'm talking about the consciousness of giving, of being there, chesed, right column. But the world did not really stand. Why? Because we're standing on only one right leg. You're not safe because you're not balanced. Abram held the world in his right hand, like somebody holding another person's right hand and preventing him to from sleeping. From falling, I'm sorry. Why? Because the world was not balanced. Then came Isaac. He balanced the world even more because he brought to the world the energy of Gevurah, judgment. Judgment is not always bad. Judgment means delay, and many times it's super good because when somebody insults us and we just throw the first thing that comes on our mind, that could be a big damage to whatever we do, whatever mission we have to achieve, to accomplish. However, if I can introduce some mercy, some chesed of Abraham, and some judgment, Gevurah, of Isaac, when I can stop the immediate response and ascend to the infinite, and from there to bring down happiness, joy. Why? Because I want to, because I decided to. Okay, when you do that, you start to accomplish what you really created to accomplish in the first place. If you're just trying to make a living and to stay in the same place, even if you have great ideas of who knows what. Still, I need to have a vision. I need to have a reason to get up in the morning for. I need a reason to move out of bed. I need a reason to get on a bus, a private car, whatever, to go to work or do whatever I need to do. Why is it so important? Because you'll see as we continue. When Jacob came, he held the body of the fallen one in the middle. So Abraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevurah, Chesed loving, is loving kindness, Chesed on the left, that's judgment, and Tiferet in the middle. That is the central column, which is mercy, balance. So again, only when I reach that balance, the journey begins, not before. You didn't install yet that machine that draws in the infinite love of the Creator towards us. That's how it works. And you have to awaken that light within yourself. So the world was not balanced, as we said, until Abraham came. And Abraham came, he brought the world into, balance because he was chesed, giving, loving, kindness, whatever. However, that did not last long. How long can you give unconditionally before you lose it? Not too long. So relative, some people can do more, some people less. Finally, you realize you made a terrible job. Because you just flooded everybody with your grace, for you it felt creator, independence, creativity, spiritual, everything. Everybody will help you because you made the decision. The moment you're really authentic about it. Okay. Still, the world was not completed. There were 600,000 Israelites. Only then you could take them out of Egypt and bring them to Mount Sinai. What does that mean? They were slaves. We were slaves in Egypt. Avadim ha'inu leparo Mitzrayim. That's how the Haggadah, Passover Haggadah starts. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. But then God took us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. And we could do whatever we want. We were a free nation. Why did we follow the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke for 40 days? Why did we do that? So every once in a while, the Torah tells us that we gave up on it. It was too much for us. We decided only one little dish, whatever. Well, just we want to stay in the small frame. Okay? But the Torah, God had something better and something bigger for us. And what is it? It's not just that you want to be free because you don't want to be a slave of Egypt. It is because, as it goes, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob brought that option for balance for every human being. Their creation is like an app in the internet of the tree of life, and whoever is really doing his best for reaching true spirituality, he will sooner or later connect to those apps of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it will start to be working with them. Many times without knowing he's working with them. Now, but still, the world, when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob passed away, the world was still not balanced because Jacob had 12 tribes. 70 people came with Jacob when Jacob moved to Egypt. And the world was finally established. However, the world was not complete till the nation of Israel received the Torah on Mount Sinai, and the tabernacle has been built. אז נתקיימו העולמות ונשלמו ונתווספו האלוהים ותחתונים. Only then the עולמות, the universes, have been established, sanctified, and then the upper and lower worlds were, what's the word? התבשמו, נתבשמו. It's like everybody, you know, just before you, when you drink, before you become tipsy, there's a stage of like, everything is great. And you're just happy. And when you've been asked, why are you happy? You say, I don't need a reason. I decided to be happy. That is the place which is the highest place. When you realize only you can make yourself happy. Why? Only you can create your own happiness. So, therefore, לא נשתה לעולם בשורשם, the world was not planted with its real roots, till Jacob, עד שיעקב הוליד 12 בתים ושבעי נפש, till from Jacob came 12 tribes, and and from there it expanded to 70 people, and then those 70 expanded into over 600,000. Now, when the Mishkan was established, the upper worlds and the lower worlds have been generated, and the upper worlds and the lower worlds were also fulfilled with all the light, the magical light of the upper worlds. Only then the upper worlds were able to survive. They were able to be established, to be completed. Zayin, verse 7. Kevan shehukmu haTorah veMishkan. Since the Torah and the Mishkan have been established, רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא לספור חיילות התורה. So, the Holy Blessed Be He wanted to count the armies of the Torah. כמה צבאות הם בתורה? וזה הפין, כמה צבאות הם במשכן? You look at an army, it's an army of groups. How can you count them? So, the Zohar explains, come and see. בואו, כל דבר שצריך להתיישב במקומו, דיינו ספר ענף שלמטה, בשושו למטה, אינו מתיישב עד שנזכה בפה ונתמנה עליו. אף כאן רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא לספור חיילות של התורה וחיילות של המשכן. Okay, very important idea. Everything that needs to find its own place, and there's magic about it. When you find your own place, physically and intellectually and mentally, and you identify yourself with a vision, with a story, with a narrative, and you align to it, and you committed to it, something amazing happens to you. You have purpose. And when you have purpose, you are capable of doing so many different things. It's like you are really free to create everything on your own. So when the Torah and the Tabernacle, the Mishkan, have been completed, now the Holy Blessed Be He wanted to count His armies. At that time, when we read that from the Torah, when it was written, everybody was in tents. They didn't even invade to the Holy Promised Land yet. So, אף כאן רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא לספור חיילות של תורה. Even here, the Holy Blessed Be He wanted to participate in the counting of of the nation of Israel. Why do we need to count them? Doesn't he know everything? And the answer, and listen carefully, the answer is as follows. כל דבר שצריך להתיישב במקומו, אינו מתיישב עד שנזכה בפה ונתמנה עליו. אף כאן רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא לספור החיילות של התורה והחיילות של המשכן. Everything. When you give it a job, every person, if you do not establish it upon appointing by words or actions, if there's no appointment, there's no job. Which means the appointing moment is crucial for the success of any new worker. Why? Because the words are activating subconscious ideas, subconscious concepts. So there were two kinds of what's the word? Gains from a couple that is getting together. One of them, as we said, let's begin from the beginning. God wanted to count the armies of the Torah and the Mishkan in order to connect the nation of Israel with their root above. And while this by this root is the Anpin and Malchut, Torah and Mishkan, heaven and earth, all of them are united but not really one. So, how do they become one? You need to appoint each soldier in the army to their position in the big story. Can you imagine that Moses and Aaron come to your tent just to tell you who exactly you are supposed to be? You were born to become. Isn't that empowering? Se'u et rosh bnei Yisrael, raise the heads of the children of Israel. How do you raise somebody's head? When you tell him, I trust you, I love you, I care for you, and I know that I'm giving you right now a certain job, and I'm sure that you have all the potential abilities to withstand in front of the job that I gave you. So that's why the Zohar says, "Bo kol davar shetzachlit yeshabim komor de ha'inu lekasher anaf lemata b'shusho lemala, eino mityashev ad shenizkar ba'peh ve'nitmana alav." In order to connect something, let's say human being, to his destination, to his vision, to the vision that will guide him into real completion of his soul, he must know the goal. It has to be, it must be defined somewhere so you can say, that's who I am. And if you read it loud, the impact is even higher. If the king that you honor so much and the high priest will come to you and read it to you, that will be even more powerful. Which means the acknowledgement. You want to raise, you want somebody that is working with you or for you. You want them to be productive. You want them to be productive in the highest level of being productive. Tell them how important they are. Tell them how great they are. Tell them, push them forward by saying how great they are going to be. That's how they raise their hands. What do you think? Moses went to every tent and did something to each one, raise their heads? No, by words, looking at, appointing. This is a whole thing about appointment. Appointing somebody is raising them from nothing to something. You understand what does it mean? It's so important. From nothing, which means you get up in the morning without any reason, without any goal, without any, like, what should I do for humanity? Nothing, just, rest in peace. Rest in peace, you tell dead people. Okay? So the Zohar says, in order for something to be settled down and functional, you need to connect above and below. And that's what we have over here. The census was not about knowing how many. It's about appointing each person to his own calling. That's why Moses and Aaron went from one to another to do the counting. It was not counting. It was raising the head of the children of Israel. You know, you're very important. You know, you're very important. You know, you're so good at this and this and this. So you should work in this and this is because when you're focusing as a collective, as a whole nation, on one mutual goal. What's a mutual goal? When the Israelites got out of Egypt, there was one goal, to spread the wisdom. The word mission was born at that moment. What is the mission? To share that idea that every human being needs to be independent. And he needs to know where he's coming from, where he's going to. And he knows how to do that. That's a much better place. You have an incentive. You have a commitment. You have an excitement. You have a happy vision. You know your place. So you can, by knowing your place, it's very easy for you to learn how to reciprocate with other people working for the same project. What is the project over there? What's the mission over there? We got out of Egypt from slavery to freedom. Now our mission is, you want to have it, you must enjoy sharing it with others. And we're saying enjoy because the key, the root for joy is when we are connected to that key, to that intersection, which you have to go through in order to reach the extra mile of how do I make the world better? So yeah, I'm part of a collective, a group of people that came from a very similar background, and now they had an appointment to reveal God's light in a certain direction. There's a problem. The mission is still there. How do I know? I look at the world around. I see too many people who are too much materialistic. That's not good. That is a reason for a lot falling. So we have to understand when we say what we said previously. When it says that God wanted to count the Israelites, the verb in Hebrew is lispor. Lispor comes from the same root as sefirah, illumination. So when you read, and in Hebrew you don't write read, you write call. The word you use for reading is likro, which means to call. When you say I'm reading the book, I'm calling the book in. Yes, you don't feel like when you read a very fascinating book, it's like you're sucking in something invisible from the book. Yeah, there's a spirit, there's something. However, that mission must be connected to the big mission. What's the big mission of the Israelites? As they leave Egypt, and they start to walk like an army. Why? We are God's army. What's our mission? To bring that idea of freedom to every human being. And later on, to by the cycle system, another cycle and another cycle, another cycle, till every person on earth is exposed to that idea. Now, if you want to sell an idea like this, you have to simplify it. That's why we study the simple aspect of Kabbalah. Because if you want to go directly to quantum mechanics, it's like Most people won't understand anything. It's like you didn't say anything. Why do you have to do it? We have a mission. The mission is to show the way. How do you show the way for other people? You can preach to them. When you preach, it means you're not really doing it, but you ask others to do that. That's preaching, right? People don't like to be preached to. They don't like. Most people, healthy people, don't like to be preached to. Why? I don't want to have somebody else to tell me what to do. I want to connect to the source. That's why the daily prayers and meditations are the most powerful way that we use in order to create the all to the image that God has about us, which means our real, authentic purpose in life. If you compare two people walking down the street, one is very talented, but he has no idea what is he supposed to do with his life. He has no idea. Maybe his meant to be position was not created yet, because the technology was not available yet. Let's say 3 months ago. Could be that 3 months ago there was no technology. Today there is a technology. And when we say lispo, we mean another word also. The word for counting in Hebrew is lispo. Sofer means in Hebrew counting. The same time sofer means a scribe. Somebody who counts holy texts. So, what do we say? That does not happen unless somebody comes and says that. We human beings have huge amount of power. Very simple. How many people have this scar, trauma, because the parents that raised them said to them when they were kids, "You will never be successful, you'll never be happy, you'll never be powerful, you are a failure, you always will be." How many people need to treat that trauma for eons? Because to uproot that. And if it's not just your father who told you that, it's teachers in school and whatever around you, this is very hard to rise from such a place. That's why there is a saying that every child needs at least one grown-up that makes sure the child knows that I believe in you. I trust you. I know you can make it. You need one to go against all the odds, because why? You need a vision. What is the vision? So the Zohar explains. When we are talking about the Israelites camping around the tabernacle, and the Levites in an inner circle around the tabernacle, you basically have, first time from the sin of Adam, an army that has one and only mission: to bring that wisdom, that knowledge to all of humanity. So we know where we come from, we know where we're going to. Basically, it's so much easier when you have a vision, and research is showing people that have a vision that includes faith in the good, faith in a higher power, and a knowing that my job is to connect the heaven and the earth, the above and below, Ze'anpin and Malchut, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy Blessed be He, and Shekhinah, the Shekhinah, the divine presence. And when was it? That happened on the first day of Iyar, and the Zohar says on verse 9, Iyar, the month of Iyar, we just at the end of this month. Okay. This week we're starting Sivan, Gemini, but usually we read Parashat Bamidbar just the last few days of Iyar, like this week. So we can still use that idea of Iyar. What is the idea of Iyar? Because Iyar is Gvura of Gvura, like we are, when we take the seasons. Why do we have four seasons? Four seasons because there are a lot of four in physics. Four basic forces that there's no physics without it. The gravity, the electrical power, electromagnetic power, the strong atomic force and the weak atomic force. They are acting in every part of the universe. They were all one in the original point the universe was created from. When it says everything was one, the only way everything is one when everything is just condensed into one point, past and future, there and here, above and below. Science for the last century is talking about the Big Bang Theory. What does it mean? The whole universe was condensed in one point and then it blew up. And then dimensions of space and time have been generated, created out of that explosion, the Big Bang. This is crucially important to understand. Now, this is being represented by four elements, four metaphysical elements: fire, water, air, and earth. That's why there are four seasons. That's why there are four letters of the tetragrammaton, tetra four. Okay, the name of four letters that is manifesting the four elements, the four forces of the creation. The four directions of the creation. What are the four directions? Right, left, in front, and back. Or south, north, east, and west. Now, that's how we perceive reality. So there are four seasons. Why? If the planet Earth is moving in a circle that is not complete, around the sun, you have necessarily, mathematically, you need to have four points. Two points are the longest and the shortest day of the year, okay? And two points are the equinox, the time of the year that there's the equal night and day. So the equal night and day is March 21st and September 21st. And we have the day of the longest night, December 21st, and the shortest night, longest day, which is June 21st. So, and you have 3 months in between them. That is the definition in the Hebrew calendar of the four seasons. This is from the solar point of view, because the solar point of view dictates the seasons. So we count the seasons according to the solar system, to the sun. We count the months according to the moon. That's why we have lunisolar calendar, moon, sun calendar. That's a Hebrew calendar. By the way, the Indian calendar and the Chinese and the Japanese and the Burmese and the Thai and the Korean, all of them, basically, we can say maybe majority of humanity is using lunisolar calendars. They don't, most people that I spoke that are coming from the Far East, they are not aware of it too much. But I won't go into it. But so you have The cycle of the year is divided into four parts. These four parts, each one of them is divided into three. By the way, the same thing when you want to feel, where am I? You know, that's a very important part of our ability to feel identity. Like the moment you don't, your brain is always checking, always measuring up and down, right and left. We spoke about it before. But basically, if you look like about it, you look at the in on those structure, which is called south, north, east, and west. And then you divide it also. The south is divided to southeast, south-south, and southwest. And the same way, each one of them is divided. So you have division of 12. And that's the 12 signs of the zodiac. Each one of them is another aspect of our identity. That can be represented in astrology, for instance, which is not about telling the future. It's about identity. Each angle is another aspect of each one of every human being's identity. So when the Israelites are camping in the desert, when you have three tribes all for the south, as we said, one to the southeast, one to the south, and one to the southwest. Okay, three. And similarly, each side, they represent every aspect of a human identity. You do not have a journey without that being covered. So, what does it mean that raise the heads of the children of Israel? When each one gave half a shekel, we spoke about it in Parashat Kitisa, he was also being blessed because when you give, you are blessed. But he was also raised because he was giving his job. I don't know how they did it, Moses and Aaron, but they gave each person some job. Of like, this is your position. Like every soldier in the army must know precisely what's his job. You cannot encroach into somebody else's job. However, you need to cover up for your partner in case he's hurt. You need to know his job in order to cover up for him. If you understand what I'm saying, what we are talking about is revelation. What's the highest level of revelation? The Zohar is saying Adam was created as a complete being. Adam was made of all souls of humanity. Each one of us knew exactly his position in Adam. Adam's sin destroyed that harmony, destroyed that super structured body, was called Adam. Now, as humanity, we need to rebuild it. As long as we don't understand that, we experience chaos. In order to be able to stop suffer for this chaos around the world, we need to have a unique identity. Same way, the cells in our body, the moment they lose their unique identity and they multiply as cells without any identity, you call that cancer, which is a terrible disease because those cells will lose their identity. They lose their special functioning. They don't have any more the burden or the merit of knowing who am I And what is my job in the midst of this super sophisticated structure, which is called the human body? That misery, which is called a cancerous cell, starts basically to kill his source, his body. Remember, whenever cancer kills a human being, he also killed himself. Because the moment those miserable cells finally destroy their host body, it's not a host, they are not parasites. They're part of the body. Their DNA is the same DNA of the human being they multiply inside. They don't see that. They don't feel anymore belong, that they belong. That's why they multiply, they eat and drink till they die. How, they don't die, they kill the body which they are part of. And when the body dies, the cancer dies too. Today, when you have a very, very strong movement in humanity, which is meant especially on destroying identity, functionality goes with identity. I am unique, therefore I am different. In order to be part, to be connected to my identity, I need to have the same way as the brain is structured. I need to know where is right and where is left, where is forward and where is backwards, where is up, where is down. I need the book of Bamidbar, Numbers, is about that idea, that the only way I can raise my head is to know I'm important and there's something in me that is unique, that if I'm not going to deliver my message to the world will be missing because I am unique, and that's basically a very Kabbalistic important idea. There are no two people who have exactly the same mission. We are, each one of us has a different mission. You need to know where do you belong, to what civilization, to what culture you belong. Now that you know what country you belong to, you have a mission. How do you elevate that culture to the utmost perfect functionality? If how do you do that? You need to do, to know right and left, you know, again, but also up and above and below. You need to know how your civilization, your culture, your mission, your purpose is also connected to the spiritual and the physical, the soul, and the body. If you're not involved with that idea, you have a problem with identity. And when you don't have an identity, you nobody can raise your head. You don't feel important. You can become a cancerous cell. What does it mean, a cancerous cell? You are part of a society. And you start to live off the society without, you destroy society without taking any responsibility for your job or mission in that society. So the Israelite nation in Parashat Bamidbar is a microcosmos of how humanity should function. You know, we said that in the beginning, when the world began, the world was not standing straight till there were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Life was the center, which means you need to know that inside you, there is a giving and there is a receiving. There is unconditional love and there's also judgment, putting boundaries. And you have always, every day, to reinvent the synthesis between the two forces. That's why you got up in the morning, by the way. But in what realm do I do it? In what context do I do it? And then it says, Jacob brought to the world 12 sons. If you look at reality, south and west, again, like the when you look at the drawing of the map and you have the directions, 12. Okay, that's about know who you are. But that's not the end. Then it became 70 people went down to Egypt, 70 nations of the world. You have to know your position. When you identify with that, then you know what is your contribution. You know what is your covenant. You know what is your mission. And you have to understand, without a mission, without an identity, without a calling, without, you don't need to know that mission just when you wake up in the morning the first time in your life. Not even when we are 12 or 13, but you have to get into that journey. I have a mission. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to reveal light that my soul is capable to reveal. No one can do that for me. No one can do it instead of me. My light is going to make a difference because all of humanity needs my light. And I don't need to be anybody else. Do you know why? When somebody non-Jewish coming to the rabbi and says, "I want to convert to Judaism," the rabbi always says, "No. What's wrong with the way God created you? If you're going to become Jewish, who's going to do your job? Who's going to do that? Like, why do you want to do something that you're not? You're not. There's nothing wrong of you being born not Jewish, because every nation today, it's a big headache. The nations are getting mixed every few generations again and again. But you have to find your place. You'll find your calling in your society, in your culture, in your community. You have to identify about what is my mission. That's what the book of Bamidbar is about. It's not about counting. Counting, as said, Sefirah means also illumination. Moses and Aaron went from one person to another, appointing them to their own mission, raising their head, saying, "If you don't do your job, we will be missing that. Don't do your neighbor's job. He's responsible for his own. You should be responsible for yourself." Your life journey is to find that mission and how your mission is aligning with the context of your family, your community, your nationality, your civilization, your humanity. This is what this book is about. It is so important because only then we can find shalom, peace. Because what is peace? It's the Hebrew word for peace is coming from the word shalem, complete. We are not complete unless each human being is doing his or her real, authentic job. That's the mission. The more people will be busy doing their mission instead of criticizing other people for their mission, the closest to shalom we can get. Remember the word peace in Hebrew. All, the Torah says all languages came from Hebrew. The word peace, the way you hear it, and in Hebrew, pe yud samech, means not to fight, not to keep grudge. People are not fighting anymore. But the word shalom, that is being used as peace in Hebrew, comes from the word shalem. I'm not complete without you. I need you to function the way you need to function so I can feel complete. And you need me to function so you can feel complete. And I don't need to become you, and you don't need to become me. God forbid that you become me and I become you. Don't imitate. Be authentic. Be creative. Be your own creator. And that's why everybody had his own different angle, his own different place, his own unique, special place on the spectrum that is made of 12 aspects, you know, south and west, east and also above and below. When we are committed for that, we're committed for that kind of, then the light can flow, then we are blessed. And that is connected to the first day of the month of Iyar, the month of light. Why month of light? Because my judgment, Iyar is the second month, Gvura, fire, in the first season. The first season is fire. That's why Aries is a fire sign. All three signs of the spring, it's fire in the core, according to Kabbalistic teachings. That's why Aries and Taurus and Gemini are very, very highly energetic, because it's a fire. The core is fire. Now, the second month is the fire of the season, and that is Taurus, which is judgment. Ox, judgment. That's a symbol. Fire of fire, judgment of judgment, that means it's not evil. Who can draw more light? Judgment of judgment. So you can look at it as judgment. Oh, terrible judgment. No, judgment is about if you know how to turn it into a blessing. Somebody is, let's say, you know, the problem with education. There's a child sitting in class, grade one, two, three, and he's hyperactive. Oh, it's a problem. It's a disease. You need to give him medication. No, you don't. It's a blessing. He's fiery. He cannot sit 8 hours or maybe 4 hours a day listening. Can't. By the way, when along history, kids at that age were sitting 4 hours straight almost without moving. That's not natural. That's not normal. That's not sick. I think this is sick. The kids are sitting for four, five, six, 8 hours without the need to run around and go nuts. The other ones were sick. So the education system has a problem, not the kids. You learn more through play than sitting and listening. Why? When you sit passive and the teacher is putting some stuff on the board. Remember, you were created in the image of God. Are you a creator? No. Are you creative? No. Are you a giver? No. That's why a normal child will hate sitting so many hours and being passively recipient of what the teachers dictate. That has to change. That's why also when you go to work and everybody dictates and you cannot be creative, you cannot generate your own position and your own aspect of who are you, you're different. That screaming is a blessing. The problem is how people look at it, not as a blessing. So the next few parashot in the book of Numbers, Bamidbar, we will repeat that concept of the uniqueness of every human being and the need to raise their head by realizing you're unique, you're different, and how do you bring the message and the mission of God's words into the world by the way you function in your society, in your community, in your business, the way you're making money. The way you generate and raise a family, all of it, there's a mission. The study of the Torah is to help you find your mission, your calling, and the light frequency you should generate so people can look at you and say, you know, I'm inspired. I see you and I'm being inspired to look for my own work. As a person, and here we're talking about how the whole nation of Israel were taught to be an inspiration for humanity. We're not always doing the right job, but humanity is inspired. How do we know? The world is following the five books of Moses. Wanting or not wanting, kicking and screaming, yes, but slowly, slowly, that message of Mount Sinai is coming down. Good luck for all of us, because this is the basic idea of what we're going through right now. When we go crazy, when we feel chaotic, when we don't understand what's going on, it's because it's called the surrounding light. What is surrounding light? The light that every human being is supposed to get from the Creator. When it's not being utilized, it's a pressure. It wants to come in. It gets us crazy because we feel we're missing something. We have no idea what are we missing. So we feel insecure. We feel insecure on different levels. We go crazy. We get anxious till we find our calling. We find a narrative. We find our story. In Hebrew, story, sipur. Again, the letters samech peresh, illumination. When you find our story, when we find our illumination, we find our place in the scale, which is also a number. I hope we're getting there. Going, if you walk for that, if you aim for that, you will be better in that crazy journey of humanity today when people have to open up. You cannot just be passive anymore. You have to take a stand. You have to find the mission, to find your story, your own illumination, and go for it. Thank you. Good luck for all of us.